What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us, for open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
We're back. Not that I necessarily wanted to be back after that kind of game to end the season. Did you feel, did that have like a preseason feel to you? Like I could not, I couldn't get into this game at all.
It really did. I neglected to say when you came, when you pulled me up that I don't have much in the way of notes for this game. Honestly, I usually do a pretty good job of taking notes and, you know, flow of the game and then pulling it all together to, you know, for an hour. I didn't have much of anything. So yeah, it was extremely difficult to get, you know, really kind of pumped up for this game. I mean, in spots, you know, it was good to see. I had kind of a, I had a bet, not kind of a bet. I had a pretty big bet on Ricky Purcell under 44 targets that I cashed out last week, fortunately, because he just got over today.
Oh, so wow. Just
little things like that were what were interesting to me. But yeah, it was not a stellar performance. And it was kind of funny trying to watch the broadcasters try to, you know, give the game some import and interest. It was pretty bad.
The first half, I would say the first quarter and a half, maybe even more, maybe right before halftime, I thought it was like, okay, they're playing well, they're playing hard. And then they started taking guys out. Kittle came out. I know Bosa came out. The secondary, I saw Mustafa had a knee injury. I don't know the extent of it. Hufanga had a concussion. And once that happened, once the third stringers came in, then it was like not even close. Like it was a drastic drop off once the Niners were without, you know, JJ doesn't even get to his 1,000 yards because he gets kicked out of the game. And there was a receiver in there, number nine. Who's number nine?
That is Willis, Brayton Willis.
Oh, that's who that was. I was like, we're at the point in this game where, I mean, we saw Trent Taylor, how many games has he been activated even all year long? Like,
who's Nick McCloud?
Nick McCloud. Are you sure he's not a basketball player?
Right. I mean, it really was, like you said, it had the real feel of a preseason game. You know, like you say, once they started pulling starters, you literally having guys out there who I'd never heard of, like the guy number 88. It was just really weird. It was really weird.
And Kyler saw the weakness and he was like, we're just going to put as many points as possible. Mm-hmm.
We're going to pad these stats.
There's no resistance by the defense whatsoever. I will say that I liked, I don't know. I liked a lot of what Josh Dobbs did. They changed their offense a little bit. You saw some RPO stuff. You saw some college motion stuff that the 49ers don't normally do with their offense. It was more exciting to see him play than seeing Brandon Allen play, though Allen did play against the Bills, and this was not the Bills. But yeah, once, you know, once the second half started, it just felt like, okay, this is really like the preseason. And you know, to the fans who can like stick with those games, like I was thinking of, like, imagine if you're a Browns fan, like you have nothing to play for. And who came into their house? Someone put 35 on them today, and the other team didn't have anything to play for either, and they still got waxed hard. So it's just like, if you're a fan of a team, and this is kind of commonly, it feels like, more power to you, because this was really hard for me to watch. But you know, we've been in those places before. The end of the season usually kind of signifies like either, thankfully we're done, or like, hey, we're headed on to the next thing. And so sometimes you watch this last game of the season with a little bit of trepidation because you don't want guys to get hurt. But here I was just like, I'm so happy that this season is over for us, because this version of the 49ers is really hard to watch, and they're just not very good. And you can see Kyle out there just like, Algon, take me away, man. He was just...
Yeah, like 17 and 18. It was really, it was not fun. And it's been a long time since, I mean, I guess, you know, COVID, that 20 was, the COVID year was weird for everybody. But yeah, it's been a long time since we've been, you know, in this position.
So, I guess the thing that I want to hit, and you know, we don't have to spend a ton of time on this game in particular, because I do want to kind of look at the playoffs and what teams will be keeping an eye on. Were there any takeaways that, as you're watching, you're like, this might be interesting for this year? I guess the one major one that I had was, you know, it was almost like Brian Snyder was like, hey, I'm going to show you. And then we get hit with a fake punt and they get a first down. And it was just like, hey, credit to Moody. He hit one. He then missed the next one, but he did hit one. Patrick Taylor looked good in mop up. I thought he looked really good in mop up. And, you know, if you take away, you can't really do this, but if you take away the turnovers, there were things that I liked about Dobbs, to the point of where I was like, you know, if there are 32 starting quarterbacks in this league, like he could be one of the back 10. He's not going to be one of the top 15 guys, but he could be one of the back 10. And there are starting quarterbacks today who are worse than he is. Like, he absolutely could start in this league. But yeah, those were like my main takeaways for this game. And it, nothing super positive defensively. I was just like, all these guys are not playing, and Fred is like limping around. Why is he still in this game? I know Leonard Floyd was trying really hard to get that 1.5 sacks to get to double digits, or maybe there was some monetary bonus involved. I know he was trying to get the 1.5, but yeah. No, were there any takeaways for you?
He's got the streak. You know, it's like eight years in a row with double digit stacks, something like that. But really, the only thing was, it's the evolution or the continued growth of Pretty Ricky is really it for me. I mean, I mean, he's putting up stats. I still don't think he looks very impressive, honestly.
Yeah.
But again, I am not, you know, closing a book or saying that this is who he is after, what is it? I think it's 10 games that he's played. Didn't have training camp, you know, obviously got shot. a month before, or I don't even, not even a month, like a couple of weeks before the season. I think, yeah. I don't know. It's all a blur. It was before the season, just before the season. And for him to, he's had a pretty impressive statistically last few games. Now what remains to be seen is when we are fully loaded, and who knows what that even means coming into next season, where he falls in the pecking order, you know, of a real football team. But yeah, I think he did some things the last 3 weeks that could provide a running a momentum running board for next season. Apparently, according to the broadcast, he's staying in the South Bay for the majority of the offseason. So hopefully he's able to cultivate some chemistry with Brock. Because I imagine, you know, even with the contract things, I'm sure Brock will still be working and doing what. Because I just don't, we have plenty of time to chop that up. But I don't think it's going to be like a holdout situation. Or I would be surprised if it gets as acrimonious as, you know, Debo and BA got. I don't really think the team can afford to do that to him. So it'll be good to, you know, get him some work. I'm anxiously awaiting, you know, again, so that's it for this game. I'm off to the off season at this point. I think I was done at halftime, honestly.
You know, the one other thing that I guess, as I was watching this game, I was like, you know, they couldn't have found a way to throw Cowing a screen pass a game or get him running a reverse, because he did look fast.
Mm-hmm.
He looked really fast on that field compared to everybody else who was on the team. You know, we have to mention Isaac Rendo. I believe it was an MCL strain that took him out, like maybe on his first carry or second carry of the game.
Yeah, it was very soon.
But yeah, I saw Cowing and I was like, wow, there's speed there. They didn't really attempt to even run any trickery with him at all. So that was another thing. But yeah, I'm with you. I was listening to 49ers Plus Minus with Cal Kami and Barros. And I think Barros said that Pretty Ricky said something to the effect of, I'm just going to follow Brock wherever he goes during the offseason and make sure that I'm available so that we can, that we can play and we can get some work in. So that's really cool. That's really smart.
That would be my philosophy, is I would attach myself to that dude.
And then the other thing that they said was that they could officially start negotiating with Brock tomorrow, I believe. So the second the season ends, then they could start negotiating, and it would be in their best PR reasons to get this thing done quickly after the nightmarish PR season that they had in last year, or in, you know, 2024 offseason. Because I'm not sure if you can, at least the public facing 49ers, which is Shanahan and John Lynch. Like, I think most fans understand that Shanahan and John Lynch are not the ones actually negotiating with the player. I think most fans would know that, but nobody knows what Parag looks like. I mean, you can go Google him and find him, but you know, that I think for Kyle and John Lynch, it would be very good if the 49ers could wrap that up quickly so that they could move on, because they're the ones that have to answer all the questions about it.
It got really awkward at the end of the BA saga, because I don't know about anybody else, but I could tell that they were frustrated with the whole situation. And my read on it, maybe that's because I'm pro player, is that they were like, you know, let's get this done. And, you know, just the way BA was there, and everybody seemed to be in accord with those three, Lynch, and just watching them, you know, the clips of them on the field and whatnot. It seemed like a football ops versus a business ops situation. And I just think that is what is developed here. And again, I just don't think that they want to do that. And I don't think management, I think, like you said, I think they should want to not risk the ire of the customer because I don't know that it's going to go. You know, every other time it is flipped in their side and, you know, the littles start attacking the player. I don't know that that's going to happen this time. It would be, it's going to be interesting to see if the general population of 49er fans do go down the same road that Brock is greedy and he's selfish and he's a diva. I don't know that it's going to go that way. I wouldn't count on it if I were them. I think that, you know, it'll be the first time that they'll be like, hey, pay this guy what he's worth, you know, blah, blah, blah. So that's interesting. I'm curious to see how that goes.
But well, I would have the players take the PR hit slightly when they feel like they have to go on social media and do some like subtle, you know, subtle dissing of the team, or they do the funny stuff, like they unfollow the team on their Instagram page because they know that the fans see that stuff and that they're following mm-hmm. that stuff, and they kind of play into Twitter and that. I don't think Brock will necessarily do that, but he doesn't have to. He plays mm-hmm. a position where you're going to get paid no matter what. It's just, you know, it's mm-hmm. just the depending on the length or
mm-hmm. it's going to be guarantees. Terms.
Mm-hmm. It, like yep. For BA, I'm sure he felt the need to do that because of the low ball mm-hmm. of it all, of how they started with it. So, you know,
I just don't, but like you say, I don't think they're going to go down that road. I don't think they're going to, like, for instance, offer him a deal that's around what Tua got. I just don't see. I don't see, again, I don't see how it benefits them at all with these low ball offers. But I think that it could really, really create a PR nightmare for them if they drag this dude. You know, he's like volunteering with kids at a church, and then it comes out that they are offered him a deal similar to what, you know, the equivalent to like Baker Mayfield or something like that. Mm-hmm. I just realistically, I don't think that that's going to happen. What I think, even their lowball offer would have to be kind of in the ballpark, because like you say, the quarterback position is just different. It's not like you're going to see a wide variance in between offers. And he hasn't done anything to be like, okay, you should get paid like with Dan, you know, similar to the Daniel Jones contract. He just hasn't, you know, you're going to be hard pressed to make an argument, a legitimate argument, that he deserved to be paid less than Trevor Lawrence, in my opinion, because I mean, you know, I know their pedigrees are different, but Brock has been way more productive in his time than my guy has been. So that would be my argument if I was his agent, and I don't see mm-hmm. the 49ers counter. I really don't.
The a lot of the prognosticators, they're talking like length, like maybe the Niners have a way to get out before, you know, 4 years or whatever. Like, so maybe it's really like a, mm-hmm. you know, 3 years, 55, and then you tack on the other years and you fluff it up to look like it's like this crazy deal, but really mm-hmm. the nuts and bolts of it is like you have the ability to get out early. I don't know what you do. All I know is Kyle Shanahan has been looking for a trustworthy guy for all of this time. He never really liked Jimmy. Jimmy was never the workhorse. Jimmy was never the practice guy. Jimmy wasn't the grinder that he wanted. And he finally got this kid. Now, do the Niners get a discount because he's a 7th-round draft pick? I'm not exactly sure that is the case. The thing that they may get a discount on is this injury to the elbow again, because that is basically saying you, because of your size, you have the possibility of you know, hurting your elbow. We've already had it repaired. We want to have some insurance against that. We're going to give you your value, but the way that we kind of get our leverage back a little bit is maybe the length because of the elbow thing. That might be interesting, but I would hope that that isn't like the thing that could make this ugly, is just haggling over years.
And then on the flip side, though, if you're his agent, That's exactly what you're guaranteeing against. You want as much guaranteed money as you can because, you know, just like everybody else, but when you have that kind of injury, you are even closer to being one play away from it all being over, which again is the difference between me and the way I look at it and most fans look at it. Is like, I was like, whew, sure glad BA wasn't playing on that fifth year option. You know, his family is taking keys straight, you know, so that's good. And I guess I don't know why fans would push back. I get
could,
it.
Could what if the Niners were like, we need another year. We're just going to franchise tag you. We're going to pay you your $55 million.
And you know what
ends up for 1 year?
Yeah, what ends up happening that though is you go down that road and you find yourself where you're Dak Prescott and you're 31 years old and you are a completely unrestricted free agent.
Yep.
And you were talking about or Kirk Cousins previous to that. You know, you get those two franchise years and then all of a sudden, you know, guys that are at the quarterback position who are franchiseable rarely get to a place where they're completely unrestricted. Which, you know, I was talking to some fan just the other day talking about how come Dak got all that money is because when was the last time a 31-year-old Pro Bowl level quarterback was completely unrestricted? It doesn't happen. And if you just play that out and if he gets out onto the open market and it's Dallas and the Giants bidding for him, you know, $60 million a year is peanuts if it gets into a bidding war. So yeah. Dallas has to hit that number because, you know, a number where his team says, OK, let's go. Otherwise, he's out there, you know, with the Giants bidding and the Raiders bidding and Dallas bidding, and it could just go crazy. The market could really just, you know, explode. So, again, as a player, I would think you want the security, but also, you know, they're competitors, and I'm sure there's a part of them that say, okay, you're going to play the franchise game. I'm going to bet on myself, and then we get to a point where 2 years later, 2 years, two franchise seasons later, you know, if I balled out, you know, it's going to be a free for all. Mm-hmm. So I don't think Brock gets there. I don't think
those are kind of like worst case scenario. Yeah, kind of things.
It could happen, but I doubt it will.
Do you think Kirk Cousins has a market?
I think that if he doesn't have a market and he still wants to play, I'd be shocked if he wasn't in the South Bay at training camp. I mean, because apparently all reports say that the love that Kyle has for him is real. And, you know, again, I don't know. And I think at this point we saw enough with the Falcons to say comfortably. I mean, he's not a threat to Brock, but he knows this system and he's a vet. And I think, you know, I'm comfortable with saying even when I saw the good things out of Josh Dobbs, that Kirk Cousins is a better quarterback than either one of those guys. So if he's willing to, I mean, he's made all the bread and he's going to get a whole another big chunk from the Falcons, you know, as a parting gift. So, I mean, if he doesn't have a market, I would think that there are worse places to like finish your career than here. And who knows? I don't know if he's going to be a media guy or if he wants to go into coaching. But again, either one of those ways, getting in here, there's worse places to be. I mean, unless he just wants to go back to Minnesota or whatever. But I don't think he can be there as a player, though. But it'll be interesting.
His deal was a 4-year deal, but there's a 2-year out. I can't figure out who can actually get out of that, if that's him or if that's the team. But that's after 2 years, so he would have to play one more year in order for that out to come up, that option. But then you have, you know, I don't know what the NFL salary cap ramifications of maybe they try and buy out 1 year, or they send him somewhere or whatever, however all that stuff.
They could just take the dead cap hit, which is would be massive. But, you know, Denver has set the precedent. They took Russ's they took that whole, it's like $185 million dead cap hit, which is astronomical until you realize that they're the Walton family. So yeah,
exactly.
So yeah, I mean, it would, like you say, the potential out is still next year, and that would just be only be a $35 million dead cap hit. If they cut him this year, they can spread it out, but they end up eating like a $65 million dead cap hit that they could spread out over a couple years. But yeah, his money is guaranteed. He gets that bread regardless. So yeah.
You know, he's made almost $300 million in the NFL.
That's wild. That is wild. I love looking at those careers. God, 295. Ooh. I was looking today, you know, Carson Wentz started for Chiefs, the Chiefs, right? And he's made $130 million cash money career earnings, which it's just mind boggling the amounts of money that these guys, especially at the quarterback position, are able to accumulate.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.
Wow, what's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
So the Niners, because of the loss against Arizona, and I was not that I wanted to necessarily see them lose, but I was kind of like, it probably makes sense to lose. I just wish they would have put up a little bit of a better fight. No one wants to get 47 bombed like they did, but they will have the 11th pick is where they ended up, I believe, in the first round. So that is a really good pick. You know, that is where you can actually work from there. If you're looking for that edge guy that you've been trying to pair up with Bosa, they're probably have maybe even too good of a pick to take a tackle that high. But we'll have lots of stuff to talk about when it comes to the draft, because we haven't really had, we had the before we started this podcast, there was the QB draft in the pandemic, where we had a high pick and we traded up to number 3 to get Trey. But since we've started doing this podcast, we have not had the opportunity to really pay that close attention to the top 10 or the top 15 in the NFL drafts. We'll be able to do that this year, or this off season at least. And, you know, that comes sooner than later too. These playoffs will go on for 5 weeks or so, and then everything will get heated up for the NFL draft. So it, not that we wanted that high of a pick, but it is something to be able to discuss. And I'm sure that's the way the 49ers are looking at it. Like, man, we took a beating, but the flip side is maybe we can actually add a difference maker to our defense or
they also actually get to take a rest, which I mean, I guess you can, it, you know, you hear it talked about more so in the NBA than you hear in the NFL, but you know, teams like back in the day, teams like the Warriors and the Cavs that were going to the finals every year, you know, it's, you know, another mini, you know, training camp type. It's a lot of games that you end up playing when you're in the mix like that over and over and over again. And that's where we've been. And I know I heard Lynch talking this week about, you know, nobody wants to be in this position, but they're kind of looking forward to, you know, having that extra, you know, 6 weeks or whatever the postseason ends up being, to be able to rest and recover and, you know, go into the off season program. Mm-hmm. You know, this will be the first time they're in years that they're going to their players are going to be able to go into the off season program with some actual rest. Because, you know, the last several years, it's like a couple weeks off and then right back into the grind to get ready for, you know, whatever the March mini camp, or, you know, however the, you know, the OTAs and all that works out. So, you know, now this year they'll get that whole time off, and then, you know, like regular team, other than the two finalists, have like what you consider a regular off season. So mm-hmm. that'll be good to see. And hopefully it'll show up in our OTAs and training camp, because from all reports this year, the training camp was kind of funky in that, you know, they seemed just kind of lackadaisical. Now it's easy to say that in hindsight, but that mm-hmm. was stuff that was happening, that was being said. At the time, you had the whole shroud of the Christian thing that was going on. And it was just kind of in the BA thing. It was just like a real fun Trent gone. It was just like a funky off season. So hopefully we can get Brock signed and it can be like more of a regular, in air quotes, whatever that is, mm-hmm. off season. That's what I'm hoping for.
And then I guess the other, if you are trying to look on the bright side, next year the Niners will have a last place schedule. So the 3 years in a row of, you know, having the tougher of the schedules, they will get a little bit of a break when it comes to that. So yeah, you know, end the season on a very poor note, which is unfortunate, but you know, it was eventually going to happen. And if they can somehow get the rest, make a few key decisions, get back into the swing of things to be competitive, then it's like, okay, like that's just what had to happen. The worst case scenario out of all worst case scenarios is this is actually what is to come. You know, this is we're kind of ending the road here with some of these vets, which I hope not, because you look, you know, we've been talking about Kittle. That dude was balling and they took him out because it's like, yeah, you know, you don't need to keep playing here. But you know, he looked great today. You hope that, you know, we saw how well Bosa played last week. He didn't really play as well this week, but Kyler's a different kind of quarterback. So, you know, you just hope that they do need what you just said, which is a little bit of a break. They come back, the Niners can make some smart decisions, which I guess you could say last offseason they didn't really mm-hmm. make those smart decisions. So you would hope that they learned from last offseason, and, you know, you kind of get folks just right back in the swing of things all in the beginning, and you kind of go full squad on everybody, and you bring back the team, you know, the ethos and all of the things that they had the previous couple years, which they did not have this year, and you run it back. I mean, that's what you got to do with such a veteran laden team, and at the same time hope that you can add some younger players on the cheap who help you with your cap issues. And you know, what are we thinking for BA? Is he going to be back like as the season starts? Because
they said that he was, you know, back in the building, and on the sideline this week, which is a good sign when they have those knee problem or knee injuries, because you know, you need to be able to be on the sideline. You need to be able to move just in case something pops off. So the fact that he's back in the building and healthy enough to actually stand on the sideline is a good sign. I didn't see him, so I don't know if he's got any kind of, you know, brace or anything, or you know, crutches or whatever. But that is a good sign in January that he's at least, you know, ambulatory. So we'll see. I mean, I'm hoping, like you say, with that double injury, it's going to be interesting what the first reports are, if they are training camp, or if, you know, it's going to be, you know, a situation where he's starting out on the pup list or what. But yeah, I hope he's able to get back and get to work and be able to have I'm sure he'll still be rehabbing, but yeah, I hope he's able to have a good, strong training camp.
And this is another PR thing, but isn't necessarily related to the PR department. But one of my major frustrations this year was the dishonesty, at least I perceive it to be dishonesty, around injuries, because there was like Christian McCaffrey is one of the most important players on the team, and mum was the word on when he was coming back. I think they should be a little bit more honest with that stuff, because again, you're setting expectations with a fan base who is thirsty to win another Super Bowl. And if BA needs to miss the first four games of the season, I think they need to be realistic about that and prepare to have that happen without being so coy about what's going on. Same with CMC, man. Like if you are going to have to watch his snaps a lot more next year, like, you know, I don't know. It may be some gamesmanship. Maybe they, you know, they're worried about game planning against them. But, you know, these teams are going to have versions of the game plan if CMC is playing and if he's not playing. So I don't think that is, you know, I don't think that's that big of a deal. But I would just like the 49ers just be a little bit straightforward with some of this stuff, because you come out looking like you're hemming and hawing all the time, and I'm just like, come on, guys. Like, you having to hem and haw tells me that you're just being dishonest, because if you didn't have to hem and haw and he was playing, you would just say he was playing.
Or not. I mean, it's one of those things where you don't go from, okay, we are deactivating him the Saturday before, or not activating him the Saturday before the opener, and then he subsequently misses 8 weeks. I mean, that is, it is a disconnect there. So there was absolutely no chance that he was going to play week one if he subsequently then ended up missing 8 weeks. Okay, the gamesmanship is one thing, but then clearly he wasn't healthy. So why not report that? I don't get where the advantage came from that. And I felt it damaged their credibility. It damn sure did with me. I don't believe anything they say anymore. so yeah.
All right, let's actually get our player of the game out of the way, and then we'll kind of look at the brackets as they are, and we'll talk about kind of how you're going to be watching the postseason.
I want winners. I want people that want to win.
All right, this is not the easiest one. That's
this
for sure.
This is a tough one. It was okay. My candidates were Pretty Ricky, Patrick Taylor, and Fred Warner.
I'll give the stats here. Ricky was 6 for 69. He had a touchdown late in the first half. That was like their best drive, was that late in the first half drive. Patrick Taylor, 17 for 109, 6.4 average per carry with a long of 29. And then Fred led the team in tackles, which has been the usual case this year. 8 tackles, 5 solo, 1 tackle for a loss. And this dude hurts his hip during the game. He's still playing with the fractured ankle. I was surprised he was out there as much as he was. He did give up that touchdown to McBride, which looked like I don't know if he didn't realize that ball was in the air, but he did not pick up the ball. He was also step a little bit behind. That was kind of the play that where you're like, okay, this dude is just not feeling great.
Mm-hmm. So it kind of came down to the last, because I love the grit and leadership that he showed being out there with all his ailments. But ultimately, if you give up 40 points, you can't be a player of the game on defense in that circumstance. Now, Pretty Ricky, I thought he was good. And then Patrick Taylor, the thing of it is most of those yards were like garbage time yards. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going back to back Pretty Ricky.
The Taylor yards, the Niners were behind. So Arizona was, I didn't really count off their defenders, but I'm sure they were playing more DBs because mm-hmm. they were expecting the pass. And so he was able to kind of get through and make some plays. Yeah. But it was good. I thought that was good. Mm-hmm. Good play calling too, because mm-hmm. the way that they were running that offense, they put those guys in situations to run from sets that we don't usually see them run with when Brock mm-hmm. is back there. So the ability, that's the stuff that I marvel at, is like, oh, we have been playing this one style all year long, and now we're going to come in with Dobbs, and he's going to be under center a little bit more, mm-hmm. or he's going to be in the pistol, or he's going to be in the read option, and we're going to run all of these zone running plays out of these different sets. Like, that stuff is really impressive to me, how these guys can switch it up like that. I'm sure for the offensive linemen and, you know, for the quarterback and the running back, they're like, you have to be able to just adjust. And that's what they said about Dobbs, was he's so smart that he can just come in and pretty much play the offense that they want him to play. And yeah, that stuff is very impressive. And I hope he gets a shot, because there were moments this year where, you know, I thought if Brock does get hurt, he can actually play well enough to where they could win some of these games. Now, the defense and the injuries did not allow that. But that didn't change my mind what I saw today. I was like, yeah, he did make a couple mistakes. Some of it was just his, he was trying to do so much with the fumble running down towards the sideline. But I was impressed. I liked the way that he played.
It's one of those things that it really didn't end up mattering. But I would have, if you could have a beer with Kyle, I would wonder why Allen started over him versus Buffalo. Again, like I say, in the big scheme, in the whole scheme of things, it doesn't really matter. But I just would have thought that it would have been Dobbs that at number two, but clearly in Kyle's mind it wasn't. And I think we talked about it at the time. I think we talked about it at the time, is that, you know, Brandon Allen is more of a paint by numbers kind of guy. He's gonna, you know, whatever Kyle wants done, he's gonna go out there, he's going to do it, and it's not going to be any question. Where Dobbs seems kind of like a YOLO guy. He's kind of a wild card, you know.
Oh, the way I thought about it after watching Dobbs play today, I thought, okay, the Niners know that no matter what, Dobbs is going to have more people, more offers to leave the team, and Brandon Allen probably won't. Mm-mm. So if Dobbs is not going to be there next year, then you kind of reward Allen and for the prep and for doing that role. And more than likely, Allen will be back and Dobbs will be gone. Like, that was kind of how I thought about it. If that Buffalo game, and I'm trying to remember what their record was, because it was kind of, you know, it was like one of those must win games. Mm-hmm. But I do wonder if Kyle was a little bit more confident that the team was going to be better than they were. I wonder if he would have thrown Dobbs in there, knowing that, you know, you're going to need something from that offense in Buffalo. But not that it was a waving the white flag kind of game, but mm-hmm. I do think that, you know, some of that decision making was possibly based on the idea that, you know, they were probably not really winning that game. So, All right, so that's kind of the capper on the season. 6-11, not what we saw coming into it, for sure. but that is the reality. And we'll have to, well, you know, there's going to be lots of news. I will say that this show, because we mostly do the post game stuff. Our schedule during the season will be a little bit different because I think it'll be sort of based on what news comes out. You know, Brock signs his contract. We'll probably try and record, you know, soon thereafter, versus just always coming on Sunday after a game. So that's that. I won't promise a schedule necessarily, but I think if people kind of can figure out, okay, when stuff happens, then we'll try and get back and record, and that's how we'll do it. All right, let's look at this this playoff situation here. Now, there's no game scheduled because they're waiting on this Lions and Vikings game, which is the Sunday night game, which has just kicked off. And because the winner of that game is basically the number one seed in the NFC. And I think the loser is the 5 seed. So that's a kind of a big swath there. That's a wide thing, you know, for just one game. So both teams, I mean, this is probably going to be a really good football game. I'm going to have it on in the background. The Warriors are also playing today, so I got to pay attention to that too. But we talked about this a little bit already, but has anything changed on kind of how you see the top teams going here in both the AFC and NFC?
Well, the Lions defense is concerning. I think that might be an issue tonight with the Vikings wide receivers. I really thought that they over the season were the class of the NFC, but you know, now you end up in, if you lose this game, you end up going from home field to like the 5th seed and you end up getting, you know, a pretty frisky Rams team. So I think that the NFC is like way more up in the air than I thought it would have been a month ago, because I like both the Minnesota, I like both Minnesota and I like the Vikings, and the Eagles are kind of frisky. And again, you go down and look at the bracket, the Buccaneers are going to get a home game, and that offense,
Buccaneers and Commanders, right?
Yeah, they are good on offense, and their defense, you know, Bowles can draw up a good game plan, especially for a young quarterback like Daniels. You could really see some upsets. And then that Packer team that's like the last in the bracket, I just think that they're a live dog. I mean, you know, so,
you know, that's a rematch of the first game in the season that was in, they were in Brazil, right? Wasn't the Eagles Packers open up the season in Brazil?
Yes, they did.
And that's when Love got hurt, I think.
Yeah.
He messed up his leg.
Yep.
So a little bit of a, you know, a little bit of like a rematch and, you know, the Packers.
Redemption, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit of, we're back to full strength now. Let's, you know, let's go.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting.
And then the other side, I mean, those top three teams, I don't know really how you, I mean, the Chiefs, you know, they just aren't, you know, I am not betting against the Chiefs. I'll just put it like that. But the Bills and the Ravens are really good football teams. And I could see any of those three teams making it to the, getting on a run and making it to the championship. Not so much, but those, you know, like 4 through 7 in their conference. I just don't see it.
Cool for D'Amico though to have that team
2 years just in a row
in the playoffs. Nice, you know, security there. I mean, they're gonna have a hard sled. But you know, the thing about the AFC that's most interesting to me. Now you have this MVP race between Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson. I look at the numbers, and to me, it feels like Lamar Jackson, you know, kind of, if you're basing it on numbers, like he's got the numbers to beat out Allen. But both teams are kind of in this weird scenario of, we know you're consistently good. Now you got to win it. Like, that's the next level for both of these guys. Like, Lamar Jackson's already won MVPs. Like, Josh Allen is amazing. But in order to conquer, in order to be the quarterbacks that, you know, the best quarterback in football, whatever you want to say, all of the accolades, they do need to get past Kansas City. Like, that is a big storyline for both of those teams. And Kansas City has played this entire season kind of like, kind of reminds me of the Super Bowl team. When the Niners were going for the three-peat, it was 91, I believe. And they were just kind of traipsing through the season, and it was not. And you know, they go into the NFC title game, and that's the Roger Craig fumble game where Montana gets hurt, and us Niner fans were so secure in our team. We're like, "Oh, Montana's hurt. Eh, Young's just going to win the Super Bowl." Like, that's how secure we were. And then Roger Craig fumbles, and they lose. Like, that's what that Kansas City team reminds me a little bit about, a little bit of, and. It's the, you know, it's now they have both of those guys, those hungry Ravens and Bills circling that, going like that, like that is our do or die game. Like, that game is almost more important than the Super Bowl for both of those teams, because that is the one monkey they cannot get off of their back. So I find that storyline to be really fascinating in the AFC. So that's the one that I really can't wait. And then you got Harbaugh waiting. Harbaugh's like looking at his chops like, man, we're just going to out tough all these guys and we'll see what happens.
Yep, so exactly.
It's the whole thing. The AFC is way more interesting to me for those reasons.
It'll be like you summed it up perfectly. It's one of those deals, like, if they don't beat the Chiefs this year, I mean, it would seem to be hopeless, because like you say, they've scuffled along all season. They just find a way to win, and sometimes the flukiest of ways. And then if you get to the end and it's you and the Bills and you and the Ravens, and then you just somehow beat them again. I mean, the Chiefs go through again. It's like, well, I mean, what do we have to do for this to get over this hump? I mean, it makes it really fascinating. So they're going to be coming hard, and you know, the Chiefs, I mean, they, like I say, they figure out a way that now, still after all we talked about the double doink and all the fluky things that have happened this year, the road to the Super Bowl still goes through Arrowhead.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be, you know. And I'm sure there was a point a month ago where the Bills were pretty confident that it was coming through Orchard Park, which changes things. I mean, it really does change things if you got to play the Bills outside in January to get to the Super Bowl. It makes it a lot more difficult. But here we are. And I just think it's going to be, you know, I know the Niners aren't in it and that sucks, but, you know, just as a football fan, it's going to be an intriguing playoff. Now, did I see that right? Is that on the schedule? Do they really get a week off, everybody? Because they were saying that Patrick Mahomes doesn't play for 3 weeks, which is odd. That they would normally have 2 weeks off if you have a bye. But if it's 3 weeks, then that means we aren't playing games on Saturday. But my schedule, I'm not sure. So, I was just wondering if you had heard.
So here's what I have. I think they've only created the next week out. So games are the 11th. Games start the 11th.
Okay.
So that's Saturday, and there is a Monday night game, and then the following week, Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, you know what it is? They were saying Mahomes won't play.
For, oh, because he, yeah, because he didn't.
He didn't play.
He didn't play today. Okay. He didn't play
that,
today.
It just, you know, I'm slow. So he didn't play today. So that will be. So it's not that the Chiefs had 3 weeks off. He will have had 3 weeks off. Okay, I got.
If you have to make a prediction, which prediction for Super Bowl?
Chiefs. And I'm going to go with the Eagles. Chiefs-Eagles. That's a rematch.
I like that. I like that a lot. I was also thinking Eagles, though. Now, here's an interesting thing, because you were talking about the Lions and the Vikings. And yeah, the Lions defense is really scary, and because they're just going to have to put points on the board consistently. And they can, because they have a fantastic offense. But, you know, one slip up and your defense is going to leave you hanging there. Which do you trust more? Do you trust that unit of the Detroit defense, or do you trust Sam Darnold? Because I feel the same way about Minnesota's offense, in that you are a Sam Darnold YOLO play away from, you know, possibly making a mistake.
That's the thing, is that he is prone. He's played, had an excellent season, but he'll throw it away. He will do that because he, you know, has such a belief in his arm, and he believes that he can make that play. And there are times when it's happened this season where all he needed to do was make the simple play, because they had the game control. And in the way that turnovers can flip a game, and the momentum, you have to just hope, if you're a Minnesota fan, that he, you know, kind of the opposite of like Alex Smith, instead of chasing the big play, just take the check down. That's what you would want Darnold to do, rather than trying to hit the home run every time. Like, I can get it there, I can make this throw. Hey man, just check it down to the running back. And if we got a punt, that's a good thing, because what you don't want is him to YOLO throw it and it end up in like a pick six, yeah, going the other way, and it just flips and changes the whole momentum of the game. So yeah, I you know, other than that, Minnesota is a really solid team, really, yeah, good team. But like you say, it's hard for me to trust Sam Darnold for like three playoff games.
I'm taking the Eagles as well.
Mm-hmm.
And some of this is just because of like they've been there. They know the grind and what it takes, and they've shown that they can actually get there. But if Minnesota beats Detroit, and as we're recording, we won't know for a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
That's an interesting pick, but I would basically have to go against my gut, which is to say Sam Darnold is going to have a game where he throws three picks. Like, mm-hmm, that's just on the table. So I'm going to go Philly like you, because I think Philly is just like the tried and true, consistent, that like they understand the grind kind of team. On the other side, though, I've said, like you said, I'm never betting against Pat Mahomes.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't put any money on any of these games. But
full disclosure,
just for the sake of being a little different from you, so that we don't have, mm-hmm, the same Super Bowl, I'm going to say the Bills, because they were the most impressive team that I thought the 49ers played all year long.
Oh, yeah. They are and kind of like you mentioned it with the MVP vote, I think it's Lamar, absolutely by the numbers, but I think the narrative is with Allen, and I think that it's the same with your pick. I think that is the narrative pick, that Josh Allen gets over the hump, wins the MVP, and gets to the championship. So I don't think that you're like, I don't think that's a bad pick at all. I think
my fan favorite preference would be, mm-hmm, for Lamar to get to the Super Bowl,
mm-hmm,
or Harbaugh. Like, those are the two that I'm like going to be rooting for on that, mm-hmm, side, like it, like just,
or D'Amico.
D'Amico, sure, but
I don't think that that's a realistic.
No, it's nice. It's a nice thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got a few opportunities there where,
yeah,
I'm a little worried what happens if, like, let's say the Ravens get bounced in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what people are going to be calling for necks on that side. So I want to see Lamar. I want to see Harbaugh. And again, Harbaugh's got money in the bank. Like, he there's no pressure on him to do that. I just, mm-hmm, want to see it, because if he does it, I'm just going to laugh, because I'm like, yeah, I've seen this before. This is what this dude does. So, yeah, no, it'll be a fun playoffs. And I wish we were in it, but, you know, we'll be able to check it out from the side. And like I said, you know, if stuff happens in Ninerland, Rod and I will come back. I at least would like to do a post-gamer for the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
If possible. I don't know where you're going to be, but if we can do that, that would be fun.
Wherever I'm going to be, I can make it happen.
All right. That is an end to this season. We actually almost got an hour worth of what was essentially like a preseason game. So that's
out of trick. Yes. Yeah.
Brad and I are basically going to do the same thing with this show, as you know, until the spring training season starts. Brad and I are going to be kind of like, we won't go more than 2 weeks without a show generally, but this week is just, there's nothing going on, so we're not going to force it. No real schedule this week for BSPN, but I am learning some stuff with YouTube, and I will make some changes to our YouTube page. So if you have not subscribed, that would be fantastic, because my goal for 2025 with our YouTube page is to get to 500 subscribers. So if you can help us out, that would be beneficial. You got to send, maybe you send the YouTube link to our old 49ers Facebook page that I'm no longer allowed to be on, and see if they'll give us some likes. That there are some subscriptions that would be helpful.
Will do.
All right, so that is it, the end of the season, and we will be back at some point, but it was it was a grind for us too, because a lot of these games were not fun to talk about, but We were dedicated to get through this season. So for Rod, I'm Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is what's most convenient for you. Care is being here when you need us. We're open evenings and weekends. Care is helping you save more. Most insurance plans and discount cards are accepted at your local Kroger Pharmacy. Care is saving you time by managing your prescriptions online. You can request refills, check order status, and more. Care is convenience that works for everyone. Kroger Health. A world of care is in store. Services and availability vary by location. Age and other restrictions may apply. For coverage, consult your health insurance company. Visit the pharmacy or our site for details.